this guy on a white horse to come riding in with a flaming sword and kill all the Romans and restore Jerusalem to its once held place and restore the temple and restore temple worship, and they're still looking for him.
I could also say that cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting that the Romans didn't invent crucifixion, but they got really, really good at it. They were really efficient at it. But if you were in the first century and you went to a jewelry maker and you said, make me a cross out of gold or silver and let me wear it around my neck, they would have laughed you out of the jewelry store. That was not a symbol in the first century of something you wanted to be associated with, is crucifixion. That was for common criminals. That was for these believers in Jesus to be crucified. But, I mean, literally, Alexander the Great, when they would conquer a place, they would line the road in and the road out with people crucified on both sides of the road because they had dared to stand up to Alexander the Great, or they had dared to stand up to the Roman Empire. These were for common criminals. So it's very much, as we talk about context, very strange for first century Christians to be wearing a cross of gold or a cross of silver, and they wouldn't do that because in verse 23, the Jews is a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. Like you said, Don, you know, anyone who hangs on a tree, they're thinking, they understand they're living under the Roman Empire. Anybody that's crucified, they must have done something really, really bad to get this. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, but not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things to the world to put to shame the things almighty. I can't remember exactly what the quote was from Steve Jobs before he passed away. But basically what he said was, it wasn't worth it. Man had more money he could ever spend. He lived years longer than he should have lived with pancreatic cancer because he had the money to buy medicines and treatments that other people didn't have. But I guarantee you, the moment he woke up on the other side, he never would thought again of Apple computers or all the money he had or any of these other rich billionaires that are out there, people who own all these worldly things. When if they don't turn and repent and act like they're supposed to act, just think about what good could be done with the money that is being spent right now to shoot people up into space for 2 minutes. How many wells in Africa could we drill? You know, it's an interesting concept to me that these worldly things give people power and they give them and they try to do good things, or they're quote unquote trying to do these good things, but they don't stand for anything. They don't make a stand on the right thing. They won't make a stand for anything. They're just kind of fluid. They just float along with it because, you know, everybody needs a phone. Everybody needs to dial up Amazon and buy something. Everybody needs to do this. Everybody needs to do that. And they all want to be the first to do it. But they're not the first to do things like this. These things were going on in Paul's time. People acting foolishly with the gifts that they had been given and the things that they had, you know, been blessed with. Verse 28. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothings that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And one of the things that he's trying to get them to understand, and he wants us to understand, is you can't and you shouldn't, by the way you live, don't empty the cross of Christ of its power. That's the power of the gospel. You know, people say, you know, this, and they want to do this, and they want to do that, and what kind of programs you got going on. But when you get right down to it, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's what we're about, and that should be enough. No matter what good things we do, if we forget those things, then I don't think we're doing the right things, and we're not emphasizing the right things. Chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom or declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything of you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's not coming in there preaching feel-good sermons to try to get you to join his church. Basically, what he preached was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it. That's all he wanted you to know. And in today's world, we think that might not be enough, but maybe that is enough. Maybe we just need to live it better. Maybe we need just to tell it better. Why did the church grow in the first century? Huh? Persecution. Why? Why did it grow when people were being killed? If your neighbor was dragged out of his house, and pretty much all of the people on your road, if the guy who lives next door is a Christian, I'm just going to assume for the sake of argument, I think he is. If he was dragged out of his house tomorrow and crucified on his front yard, in his front lawn, what would that make you do? One of two things. It would make you resolved to continue to live how you've been called, or it would cause you to deny Christ. And I think that's what's happening here. These people are not, they're not in it for what programs that this congregation could give to them. They're not in it for the bus ministry. They're not in it for getting to go to camp. They're in it because they believe what has been taught to them, that Jesus Christ is their Savior, and they're willing to die for it. And I wonder in our society today, there's going to be more persecution. We need to get ready for it. And we need to decide, are we going to live that life and do what we're supposed to do? Are we, and when it comes down to it, are we going to deny Christ? And I'm not so sure that everybody would make that same decision. But if you don't think about it beforehand, then I know what decision you might accidentally make. So as we go through our daily lives, think about making sure people understand and know who you are. Talk about Jesus. Invite people to come to church. I know it's hard. It's hard to walk next door to your neighbor and knock on their door and hand them a flyer and say, I'd love to see you come to church on Sunday. But that's kind of what we need to be doing. Right? We've had door knockings here, and me and Jake and a couple others are the only ones that showed up. Why is that? We don't want to give time. We don't want to put effort into this, but we're going to be held accountable for, I believe, we're going to be held accountable for the things that we did, but we're also going to be held accountable for the things that we didn't do. When the congregation, when the elders put forth a work for us, let's get behind it. That might not be exactly what you want to do, but if the elders are behind it and they think it's a good thing, let's get behind it as a congregation. We got an opportunity coming up tonight, and we're going to have a meeting back here in just a little while. Some young men have got an idea to do something different. Go in there to that meeting and listen to what they have to say. And then put your hand to the plow and let's see if we can make it work. And if it doesn't work, we'll try something different. But I think we, as the first century church, had to decide. We've got to make a stand. You've got to decide, are you with Jesus or are you with not, for, or not with Jesus? And that's the decision he's trying to get them to understand. They made this decision to become Christians. Now, remain faithful. Don't line up behind a preacher. Don't let other people take away your enthusiasm. Don't let it the gospel be a stumbling block to you. And don't allow people to move you from where it is that you know you need to be. Next week, we're going to pick up with chapter 2, and we're going to move a lot faster, I promise, because we got to, or we're never going to get out of Corinthians the rest of the quarter. I thank you for your attention and your comments. Once again, if you would, just keep reading in 1 Corinthians. Read on to the end of the chapter, and we'll pick up in chapter 2 next Wednesday night, Lord willing. Thank you.
All right. Good morning, or good evening, rather. Welcome to Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. We're so happy to see everyone here. Just a couple of quick announcements before we start in our devotional period. Please keep in prayer all those who are sick and shut in and grieving. Another announcement we need to make is if you would like to help with the Epic Day and Bus Ministry Outreach Day, which will be on Saturday, May the 21st, please meet tonight for a very important meeting. And I know it's important because it's all caps and bold point. So it's very important. Following service in the 49er classroom or see John Birdwell. Also, Jesus from Chisholm Hills will be speaking to everyone helping with the bus ministry on Sunday, May the 15th at 4 o'clock in the 49ers classroom. If you could help with VBS, please sign the sheets on the table in the foyer. If that will be all, we'll start our devotional period.
Our first song tonight will be number 578. Number 578, we'll sing all four verses.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne.
Have you ever heard the phrase, and maybe you haven't, 10% of the worship, and this is just pure guesstimation. 10% of the New Testament talks about worship. 90% of the New Testament talks about life outside of worship. But have you then ever felt like, with some churches, they talk 90% of the time about that 10%? And only talk 10% of the time about what we do 90%. Did anybody follow that? Seems like 90% of our life is spent outside of these few segments of gathered worship. Maybe sometimes we only talk about it small portions, like 10% of the time. Then scriptures come to mind like this. I mentioned in class tonight, Galatians 2:20. That I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And Philippians 1:20 and 21, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Luke 9:23 and 24, if anybody would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so life, 90% of our life is not here. And so on this Wednesday night, I want to give you something to help out for all the life, not just here, but also out there. I'm thinking about scriptures like 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Before I talk about that, I was gifted with an opportunity to speak with a Christian lady this week. And here's what she's doing, is what she can. You know, I can't do what that Christian lady is doing, which is cooking a dish and taking it to all of her neighbors so that all the neighbors will know who she is, so she can influence her little circle for Christ. I can't do what he's doing. When he goes to his job and he's in charge of 20 people and he speaks with them every single day, I can't speak words of direct order, but also grace and kindness and love. I can't do that, and I can't reach those 20 people. But you know what? He can. I can only do what I'm able to do in my circle. And I need you to do whatever you are able to do in your circle, because you may be the only one who can. And it's not about I needing it. God needs that from you. And so 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. Galatians 6, 10, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to those of the household of faith. So I'm even thinking about some people who may not be doing those things in this life. As the song says, let it start right here and let it start right now. I listed out 18 things you can be involved with through the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. We are in need, and there may be holes that only you can fill. Would you listen and consider? This weekend and every May moving forward, we're going to help out leading a kids camp at Maywood from ages 4 to 9 years old. Later on a Saturday in May, John is leading an Epic Day, which is a direct outreach opportunity to people who need to hear the gospel of Christ across the street. We have VBS sign-up sheets in the foyer, and last time I checked, they were pretty empty. Let's go sign those. We have a men's breakfast every first and third Tuesday where men are gathering together to start the day, eating, praying, worshiping. 20, 30 minutes. We have young ladies who meet every Thursday night for devotionals, young professional monthly devotionals. Women, there's a particular lady, I won't call her out because she might get embarrassed. Women have meals, get-togethers during the week occasionally, and she coordinates those on Facebook. Thank you for that. Our World Bible School, which literally studies the scriptures with thousands, need you. We have more Bible study opportunities than we have people committed to doing them. We need door greeters each Sunday morning, night, and Wednesday. We need card writers, because now that Sunday Night for the Savior is gone, we were sending out massive amounts of cards, which I hear about all the time from people when I go visit. We need card writers. We need people to go visit our visitors. We need bread bakers to give to our visitors. We need Bible class teachers, youth group mentors. We need bus drivers. We need AV room help badly. Justin's been back there with about two other people for the better part of 8 years. We have Meals on Wheels, and sometimes we're desperately needing people to go serve. Bible study partners, shut-in visitors, accountability partners for Christians recovering from their vices. We have holes that maybe only you can fill. I'm not saying this to get onto you. I'm saying it because look at the opportunity to serve right here, right now. And when someone steps up to use their gift to serve one another, when someone steps up as they have opportunity to do good to one another, when someone steps up to obey their leaders and submit to them, Hebrews 13, verse 17, when people step up to do that, God is glorified. And we are a church that needs to glorify God the Father. And these are the 18 opportunities that our shepherds have put before us. And maybe I've missed some. So where are you going to put yourself? What area of service will you serve? Because Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and die is gain, which means if I live, and I may or I may not, well, then my life is Christ's, so that when I die, I'll be better off. I hope you can say that for yourself tonight. Because of the life that you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God. He loved you and he gave himself for you. And as you have opportunity, I hope you serve. And you may need the opportunity not to serve tonight, but to be prayed for, maybe supported, maybe to confess sin. Maybe this is the opportunity you need to get right with the Lord or become a Christian. And God's saying, come on in. And if you need to be immersed in the blood of Christ, this is a great opportunity. We want to help you out because that's what church does for each other. Let's stand up and sing.
Singing out tonight, we're going to close with number 76, How Great Thou Art. We're going to sing the first and fourth verse of this song.
Sings my soul.
y'all please be seated just for a moment? I don't have the closing prayer, whoever has that. I just wanted to make an announcement about the bus ministry and about the youth ministry. So tonight we're having a really important meeting about the bus ministry and Epic Day. As Austin said, it's encouraging people in Christ. You know, in the youth upstairs, we're studying Hebrews, which to me, the overarching theme is that God is supreme. And recently, I was speaking with someone who's a very well-respected evangelist in the area, and who asked a friend of his about converting Muslims to Christianity. And his response, I thought, was awesome. Because sometimes we think that the power lies within us. And he said, you know, what do you do, you know, kind of thing, like what tactics, how do we start the conversation? And he looked at him and he said, what are you talking about? He's like, what do you mean? He said, the power is in the gospel. And so I have to be honest with you there for a second, you know, with everything going on. There's some things that we don't move. You know, senior night, we don't move. We're not going to move it. And I asked Austin, I said, do we need to step back and punt for this thing, you know, and maybe go better at it? And then, you know, he made the comment. He's like, we can't do that. We have to do this thing. And it brought me the realization that we're unwilling to move some things that are in nature, celebrations or barns or businesses, but evangelism, sometimes we can step back and we can punt it on down the road and we cannot do it. But in reality, the urgency of the gospel to be spread to our community, in my opinion, is very high. So I make this appeal to you because the youth ministry is about to embark on this endeavor, and intergenerationally, many people of all ages. But we're about to have Epic Day, where we're going to have the bouncy houses, the free stuff, and all that. That's to the attraction. But the power of the gospel when they get here is the aim. And so that they walk down the Route 66 hallways and familiarize themselves with the classes here. And so it's our aim in this to provide transportation to people who need it in the community to be here and to be a part of this family, because we all so desperately need God's grace. So I say that to say we have marketing teams, we have bus drivers, we have snacks, we have games, we have door knocking teams. We have many things that you have a skill set, I know you do, in one of those realms. So we're going to have that meeting tonight. We have a decent number of volunteers, but if you are on the fence, I encourage you, don't punt this thing down the road. Come, let's get you plugged in. I need to put your name on the paper so we can get you with your team coordinator, because we have a week and a half. Now, that's just for Epic Day. That's just a community outreach day. But that's going to also lead into our vacation Bible school. That's going to lead into our bus ministry so that we can get contact information to reach out to them and get kids here and to get families here. So thanks for allowing me to take up a little bit of your time. But as to reiterate what Austin has said, find whatever it is that you're good at and let's put it to work for the Lord. So that being said, an announcement for the parents. After the bus ministry meeting, the bus will be actually taking some members home. Then the youth will leave after it's over and the bus gets back. We're going to go to Krispy Kreme later and then come back. But please, if you can and if you're willing and able, I'll see you in the bus ministry meeting in the 49ers room. Thank you.
We won't all fit in this room, But we're going to try, okay? I expect to see everybody back here in this room trying to do something tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus, Father. Lord, we're so thankful for your love for us, for your mercy and for your grace, Father, that we are in so much need of. Lord, we thank you for this family here, and we thank you that we've been able to worship tonight. Lord, and I pray that what's been said and the hearts that have been singing, Father, that all things have been done in a way that's pleasing to you and that would honor you and glorify you, Lord, and be a sweet aroma to you. Lord, be with us as we depart tonight. I pray, Father, your blessing or protection for us until we return again. And I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us courage, that you would always help us to remember the hope that is within us so that we can do great things for your kingdom, Father, and we can make a difference to those around us for the glory of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.